want to get my text out there in verse 14. Of course, I'm going to deal with all these verses, but these all continue with one accord. I want to talk about one accord, being in one accord. The disciples, you know, they had been interested in a fleshly, earthly, political kingdom. And our Lord told them that it wasn't for them to know. It wasn't for them to know. But after the baptism of the Holy Ghost, after the Holy Ghost comes down on them, they never thought of a temporal kingdom again. Never entered their thoughts ever again. They began to preach a kingdom with a king with a spiritual kingdom. You know, he says that God translated us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son, which means the Son of his love. So we're in a spiritual kingdom, a glorious kingdom, an eternal kingdom. And then it says there in verse 12, then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. You remember our Lord Jesus Christ told him, he said, you know, you go back to Jerusalem. You go to Jerusalem. And I want you to stay there in Jerusalem. And they did. You know, and then this is where Christ was crucified. And there was a 10-day waiting period. You know, there was Christ ascended on the 40th day. And there's a 10-day period between the Passover and what they call Pentecost or the Feast of Days. And there was a 10-day waiting period between the two. And it was called the Feast of Weeks. It was what they done when they brought the first fruits in. And that's kind of appropriate, you know, that because the next chapter we have the first fruits of the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ brought in when 5,000 souls were brought in. The first fruits brought in. And they said they waited. They returned from Jerusalem, and which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey. And there they had to wait for 10 days. Christ ascended. You remember I showed you how that the Lord Jesus ascended, and he was up in Bethany, and he told them to go to Jerusalem and wait until they be endued with power from on high. Waiting is one of the hardest things I believe that we have to deal with in our whole life. I think it's one of the hardest things that we have to do. We want things done now. Now. There's nothing worse than waiting unless you just, you know, it has to be done. But we want things done now, and if we couldn't get them done now, we wish that should have been done yesterday or sooner. But that's the way we are. We want things done now. And I just, you know, we was out the other day, Shirley and I went out loafing, and we went to a place to eat, and they told us to be about a 10 or 15 minute wait. Well, we went outside and lollygagged around a while and come back in, sat out a while, and I finally got tired of waiting. After about 30 minutes, I said, went to the guy and said, I thought you said it's going to be 10 or 15 minutes. He said, what's your name? I told him, he said, oh, I can get you now. And he took a phone number to call us. But I see, I got tired of waiting. When somebody tells you a certain time, and I'll tell you another thing about waiting. Of course, in the service, that's what all you do is hurry up and wait. But I remember the first time I went to a doctor here in Crossville, and he was my doctor for years, and he finally retired here recently. And I went to see him. The first time I went to see him, I sat there for about an hour and 40 minutes. And then I waited about an hour and 45 minutes. And when it got close to 2 hours, I got up and left. I went to the house. Well, they called me and they said, well, we're sorry that happened. So I went back the next time and got to meet him. And I'd never even met him before. And I told him, I said, you know, I hate that I had to leave, but I know your time's more important than my time, but my time's worth something to me. So I was trying to have more about I got something to do with my time besides sitting waiting for a doctor for 2 hours. And he laughed and said, well, you're right. Never had that problem ever again. Never had that problem ever again. You know, when you're they're working for you, they ought to be on the ball. You're paying them. They mean, you know, they're not doing it for nothing. Well, that's just my opinion. I just, you know, that didn't cost you anything. They returned to Jerusalem, and they had a waiting period. And waiting is one of the hardest things we do. But God says, when God says wait, we got to wait. And that's what he said to these fellas. 10 days you're going to stay here, wait for the Holy Ghost to come. And you know, when God says wait, sometimes we worry, sometimes we fret, sometimes we get anxious. But look over here in Isaiah chapter 40 with me. Let's look here about something about waiting. You know, when God says be still, know that I'm God, what he's talking about is that peace, just be restful. Wait. Look in Isaiah 40 and verse 28. What God said here. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, he don't faint. He never gets weary. Never gets faint. Never gets to where he can't go. Have no energy. No, neither is weary. And there's no searching of his understanding. Now listen to this. He gives power to the faint. Now, what does this word faint mean? That means that you get incredibly weak. You get incredibly weak till you feel like you just can't go on. I got to sit down. I got the strength to go on. And then look what he says here. He said, he gives power to the faint. About the time you think you can't go, he's going to give you some power. And to them that have no might, them that have no strength whatsoever, no might, you know what he does? He gives you strength. That's why the same thing our Lord said, when you're weak, then are you strong, for my grace is made perfect in your weakness. And then, look what he said, even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But listen to this now, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Just wait. Wait. And over in Psalm 27:13, it says this. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Be of good courage and wait on the Lord. For he shall come in due season. And I tell you, waiting is often God preparing us for something that's going to happen. He sometimes puts us in a situation where we just have to wait. And he's preparing us, trying us. I'll give you some illustrations. Moses, he was fixed. He thought he was going to lead Israel out of Egypt. And so he thought he was going to do that right away. God sent him to the backside of the desert, and he lived back there 40 years before God ever used him again. He had to wait 40 years. And Paul the apostle, he had to go to the backside of the desert and say, stay there 3 years to learn the gospel and Christ teach him the gospel. Our Lord waited 30 years before he entered into the ministry. And there's people that I know and you know that has been very, very sick and have to lay in a hospital and have to go through all kinds of treatments, and God doing that, and they have to wait until either God takes them or wait till he raises them back up. And oh my, but they have to wait. I tell you, waiting is hard, but it's waiting on God. I was told this years, and I was told this when I was a very young preacher. If you don't know what to do, don't do anything. If you don't know what to do, you don't know which way to turn, don't turn no way. Just stand still. Just wait. And that's what God told Israel. Stand still! What do you mean? Wait! What are you waiting on? Waiting for me to show you the salvation of the Lord. And we'll see it. Yeah, oh, I tell you, what were they doing while they were waiting? Look in verse 12. They returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, Sabbath day journeys, First thing, they were being obedient. They were doing just exactly what our Lord told them to do. You know, look back over here at verse 4. We're now in Acts chapter 1. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. Don't depart from, but wait. They said, wait. There it is again, waiting. And I tell you, he commanded them. They were obedient. They returned to Jerusalem. And you know, this wasn't exactly the safest place for anybody that was related to the Lord Jesus Christ or disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ at that time. I mean, it's like Simon Peter, when that maid asked him three times, said, I know not that man. He understood that if you identify with him, you'll die too. And so they were, Jerusalem wasn't a safe place to be for them. In fact, they was hid sometimes. They was hid. When our Lord Jesus appeared to them the first time, they was hid. The scriptures tells us over in Luke, they were hid for fear of the Jews. And he appeared in the midst of them. You know what the first thing he said to them? When he appeared unto them, peace be unto thee. And you reckon they're afraid anymore? When he said peace, that's what they needed. They needed peace of heart, peace of mind, peace of soul. And the Lord, that's the first word he said to them when he appeared after his resurrection. And then it says they went to a Sabbath day's journey. That's 3/4 of a mile. They wasn't allowed on a Sabbath day, and Sabbath day was from 6 o'clock Friday afternoon evening until 6 o'clock Saturday evening. And they wasn't allowed, when they got up, go 3/4 of a mile. That's what the law said. You can't go no more than 3/4 of a mile. And they went a Sabbath day's journey, 3/4 of a mile. And then, I tell you what, you know what they did? And they look down verse 13. And they were, and when they were come in, they went into an upper room. They went into an upper room. Let me show you something. You keep that action. Look over with me in Luke 22. Luke 22. It must have been a large, large upper room because it had 120 people in it. Look what it says here in Luke 22. Starting at verse 11. You know, our Lord said, you're going into this town here and you're going to meet somebody, and he's going to be carrying a pitcher of water. And when you see him, you say, in verse 11, said, you shall say unto the good man of the house, the master saith unto thee, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room furnished. There make ready. And they went and found it as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. Do you reckon this was the same upper room that they were in? It had to be a large upper room. He said a large, that's what our Lord said, a large upper room. And so they went into an upper room. And I tell you, that's that. And our Lord Jesus had this Passover with his disciples in an upper room. And so when they went up into an upper room where they all abode, there was 11 of them there. And not only was it they were obedient, but it was time of fellowship too. Look what it says in verse 13 down through verse 15. I'll comment them as I go. And when they were come in, they went into an upper room where abode, where they lived. They stayed there. Both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, with his brethren. Look what it says there in verse 4. They all continued with one accord. You know how many times it says one accord in the book of Acts? It says it 10 times. So it must be very important for people to be in one accord. What does it mean to be in one? Same mind, same spirit, same goals, same desires, everything. They all was as one person. Everything coming together as one person. when it comes to these things of the gospel, things of Christ. And look down in verse 1 of chapter 2. And look what it says. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And here they were, all in an upper room. And they all continued in one accord. And I'll tell you something. See there where it says that in verse 14, with the women, prayer supplication with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brethren. This is the last time that Mary's mentioned in the Bible. And look what she's doing. She's not being worshipped. She's worshiping with them. She's there meeting with them. She's worshiping with them. She's attending to the things of the gospel with them. She takes her place among the 120 like anybody else would. And I tell you what, how in the world they go from seeing stuff like that and then going to say Mary, the mother of God, and she's to be worshipped. And it says that's the last time you hear of her. And she's not being worshipped. She's worshiping it herself. She's gathered in others with others to worship. And then look what it goes on to say. And in those days, verse 15, and in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples. And the number of the names were about 120. Now our Lord Jesus Christ spent 3 years, or 3.5 years, earthly ministry. And he started out with 12 men, and one of them was a devil. He ended up having a lot of disciples. At one time, he had 1,000s of them following him. And when he told them, no man can come unto me except the Father which sent me draw him. He said, I told you that. And multitude went and walked with him no more. And he turned around and looked at the 12. That's all that's left with him after all them other stuff. He turned around and looked at the 12 and asked them, are you going to go away too? You're just going to leave too? And they said, Lord, to whom shall we go? So I'll tell you what, so you got after his ministry, 3.5 years in this ministry, got 11 disciples left, 11 apostles left, and then 119 people, other people in that room, 109 people with him in that room. And how? I wonder who some of those people were. Well, we know that Mary was there. We know that our Lord Jesus Christ's brothers were there. But how about how many other were there? You reckon Nicodemus was there? You know, he believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. You reckon Joseph of Arimathea was there? The one that took Christ down from the cross and took his body and went and buried it? Let him have his own grave? You reckon he was there? You reckon those two disciples that was on the Emmaus Road? You reckon they was in that upper room with them? What about Mary? Magdalene. I'd almost guarantee she was there. She's the first one to the tomb after he had read, after the Sabbath was over. Huh? What about Martha? Mary and Martha. You reckon Lazarus was there? Hey, Zacchaeus! I bet little old Zacchaeus is probably in there. Huh? How about Bartimaeus, who sat by the wayside begging, and the Lord Jesus had mercy on him? Huh? What about some of them lepers that he cleansed? What about some of them blind, that blind man that he gave sight to? You reckon some of them people were there? Some of those people he had done these wonderful things for? There was 120. The women and the men, and it says they were all with one accord. Look over and keep Acts and look in 1 Corinthians with me, chapter 1. I want to see a verse of scripture over here. 1 Corinthians 1:10. All the women and the men, they were all in one accord. You know, Paul said to the Philippians, strive together for the furtherance of the gospel. But look what he said here in 1 Corinthians 1:10. Now I beseech you, brethren. First thing he said, I beg you, I plead with you, brethren. He says, you're my brothers. And this, look what he does. Look what he invokes. He invokes the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I beseech you by the name of our Savior, our Redeemer, our Lord Jesus Christ. And all this is what I ask you to do for Christ's sake, that you all speak the same thing. And that there be no divisions, no schisms among you. That you be perfectly joined together, having the same mind, the same judgment. Having the same mind concerning Christ and the same judgment concerning Christ. That's what he's talking about. And all, you know, when these people were together, 120 of them. Here's 120 after our Lord's ministry. And you know why they were together? Because they're like sheep. Sheep get together. Sheep has to be with sheep. People actually need people. Sheep gather with sheep. And if you isolate, and I tell you one thing that's dangerous, if a sheep gets off by itself, you know what's going to happen to him? A wolf's going to get him. A wolf will get him. And I tell you what, we can't, you know, isolation is bad. God meant for us to all be together. There's some folks up here got sheep, and all them sheep just stay right together. And some other folks brought some sheep down the road there, and you go up there, and every one of them's all together. All together. They stay together. They have to have one another. And I tell you, we can't grow without people. We can't grow intellectually without being around other people. We can't grow socially without being around other people. We certainly can't grow spiritually. We can't go spiritually without being with the Lord's people. We can't do it. Christ has one body. He has one body, but you know how many members he has in that body? I got one body, and I've got lots of members in this body, and Christ is the head of his church, his body, and we all have different, he has different members in his body. Has fingers, ears, eyes, feet. He has everything, you know, and we all, these every member has a different use. And that's what he said, let's be of one accord. If I smash my little finger, you know what? It ain't gonna just hurt my little finger, it's gonna hurt me all over. And that's the way it is with Christ. If one person gets hurt, then the whole body hurts with them. That's why we pray for people that's sick. But oh, listen, I tell you what, I don't understand people not wanting to be with sheep. I never have understood it, never will understand it. There's two things in my mind, and I think I'm scripturally right about this. I think I'm scripturally right. Two things about believers that you can almost guarantee. First of all, they love the gospel, and they've got to attend the gospel. The second thing about them is they're generous. If a person's can attend the gospel and be stingy, I don't have no confidence in them. And if a person attends the gospel and generous both, that's a pretty good indication they know the Lord. Because only God, he'll open you, not only will he open your heart, but he also opens your hand. And that's one thing that people hate to part with more than anything. And I don't know why. But people hate to part with their money. I mean, you know, if I had something to part with, I'd ain't got hard enough to part with. But no, what I'm telling you is that's two things. And you can be generous and not attend the services. And I don't have much for you. I really don't. And I'm the pastor. I'm just telling you. I'm telling you how I feel. People can be an encouragement or they can be a discouragement. People can be a blessing to you or they're a burden. And there's no middle ground. There's people that going to, and that's what he's talking about. Being 120 people together. Why did Mary go be with all these people? Why did these 11 apostles get back together? Why did all that? Because they have to be together. To encourage one another, to pray for one another, and uplift one another, and encourage one another. Oh my. And then not only was it a time of fellowship, But it's also a time for prayer. Look what it says in verse 14. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, with his brethren. You know, they continued in prayer. They continued in prayer and supplication. Now, what do you reckon these fellas, when they all prayed, what do you think they prayed for? What do you suppose they prayed for? Wonder what they prayed for. Well, there are several things involved in prayer. And the first one is this. Worship. When we first address God, when we realize who He is, how glorious He is, how majestic He is, He's eternal, and all that He's done for us. He gave His Son for our sins. He punished His Son for our sins. His Son died for our sins. Then He rose Him, raised Him from the dead, and showed Himself alive by many infallible proofs. And so when you start praising Him and blessing Him, you end up worshiping. When you start thinking about God and His, how glorious and how blessed and how mighty and how powerful and how gracious and how love and the wisdom involved in all that He does for us, then next thing you know, you're worshiping. And that's what we do. We come in here and we address God. We worship. Huh? Adoration. Adoration. Our Lord appeared to them. And appeared to them. And He appeared to us. And He promised them that He'd return. And He promised us that He is coming again. And oh, how they blessed Him for His wisdom, for His love, for His power, for His grace, for His mercy. I'll tell you something else they prayed for. I believe they made confession. I believe they made confession. I was talking to an old man today. He is going to be 81 pretty soon. He started talking to me, and we ended up talking about Christ. Wonderful conversation. He says, I used to confess my sins to people, and he said, I don't do that anymore. He said, I got too many. He said, you don't think evil thoughts, do you? You don't have bad feelings, do you? I said, oh yeah. I said, that's why I need Christ. That's what he hit that thing like this. He said, I got to have Christ too. I can't make it without Him. I can't do what I'm doing right now without Him, is what that old man told me. That's encouraging. That was a very encouraging thing. But here, these fellows, there was confession. And you know what I believe? The first thing they confessed, Lord, we're cowards. We're such cowards. Oh, Lord, we were such cowards. When we should have stood up with You and stood with You when they come to get You, we should have stood with You. But Lord, instead, every one of us fled and every one of us forsook You. We run off and left You. We're as cowards. We're as afraid. And then, oh, they confessed, oh, Lord, forgive us for doubting You. Oh, we got for Thomas, oh, God, please forgive me for doubting You. I'm sure Simon Peter said, Lord, forgive me for denying You. Confession. They made their confession over questioning. Who are we to question You? He was fixing to go back to glory. And they said, Lord, will You at this time restore the king? Why are they talking to Him like, He's got everything's in His hands. They should know that. And I tell you another thing that they confessed. Lord, we're so sorry that we did not understand all the things that You told us after 3.5 years in ministry. We didn't understand. And You had to start all over again after Your resurrection and teach us and instruct us and give us understanding of Your own Bible, Your own Word. Oh, what a confession. And then I'll tell you something else that was involved in their prayer. Thanksgiving. And you know what they was more thankful for than anything else? Lord, we thank You that You didn't let go you can let every one of us go. He got Simon Peter, you're going to deny me three times. And I tell you what, the only reason you're not going to fall and not fail and end up in hell is because I prayed for you. Thomas, is this what you need? Oh, Lord. Oh, I think the first thing they said, Lord, thank you for not letting us go. Thank you for not leaving us to ourselves. Thank you for not leaving us to this old world and our old sinful natures. Thank you. And they no doubt thanked him for his many appearances. Lord, thank you for appearing to us. Thank you for letting us see you. Thank you for letting us have fellowship with you. Thank you for all you did for us after your resurrection. Thank you, Lord, for opening our understanding to your word. Thank you, Lord, for your promises to return. Thank you, Lord, to send us the Holy Spirit down here. And he has promised that I'll be with you all the way to the end. That's what he told them. And then it says supplication. Supplication means you're asking for something. You're asking for something. Wonder what they ask him for. Lord, make us faithful. Please, Lord, let us be a faithful believer. Let us be faithful. Lord, we've done found out we don't have no strength. So, Lord Jesus, please give us strength. Give us strength. Give us strength. Oh, Lord Jesus, we ain't got no wisdom. We ain't got no sense. We ain't got no nothing. Lord, give us wisdom. Oh, give us wisdom. And, Lord, we have such little understanding of your word. Please give us some understanding. Please. Oh, it's time for prayer. Time for prayer. And then look what it says. Now I got to hurry on here. And then they knew something about God's word. You know, people need to read the scriptures. I understand that, but God gave preachers to give the understanding. And in those days, in verse 15, and in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, and he began using scripture. He quoted scripture. And he said, men and brethren, this scripture must needs, it's necessary that it have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David, King David, spake before concerning who? Judas. Judas Iscariot. And that's why we know which was guide to them that came to get Jesus. The fella I kissed, that's the one you need to take. And it says here, for he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. And he says, now, this man purchased. You know, there's two things foretold here. The number, he is numbered with us, and the office that he lost. And he says, this man, he said, verse 17, for he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. And I tell you what, and then he said, now this man purchased with his reward of iniquity, falling headlong, burst asunder in the mist, and all his bowels gushed out. And oh my. Oh, listen to what he said in verse 19, and I'm going to show you something here. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch that that field is called in their proper tongue, Acidema, that is to say, the field of blood. Look in Matthew 27. Look in Matthew 27. Let me show you this. And then I'll wind this thing. I'll wind it up for us. If I can. Matthew 27 and verse 3. Verse 3, Matthew 27. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders. They're the one that paid him, saying, I have sinned. I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, well, that ain't nothing to us. What's that to us? You see to it. You do what you got to do. And he threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Now listen to this now. And the chief priests took the silver pieces and said, it's not lawful. Now it's lawful for us to pay him 30 pieces of silver to betray to the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's not lawful for us to put them into the treasury, put them back in the church, because it's the price of blood. And they got together and they said, well, what do we need to do with this blood, all this money? And they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. They bought a graveyard to bury poor people in. And it's called the field of blood unto this day. Huh? Oh, my. There's two things that we really need in our life. We need Bible, we need prayer, we talk to God, and we need to read His Word where God talks to us. And then let me hurry on and tell you this in verse 20 now. For it's written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and no let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. That means in the margin it said, let somebody else take his office or his charge. And somebody else fill his office. Peter's talking, and almost always now we have Simon Peter doing all the talking. He's the rock. And here's the qualifications that you have to choose somebody to take Judas' place. Wherefore of these men which have companied with us, that's the first qualification. They had to continue with them. They was in their company from the very beginning. All the time that the Lord Jesus went out and among us, from the time Christ, they knew Christ, somebody's been with us all that time. That's what they got to do. And the second thing is, they got to be with them from John's baptism. And then it says here also, until Christ was taken up, and here's the second thing that has to do about it, is they have to be a witness, which must be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. Continued with us, a witness of the resurrection. And they appointed two. They picked out two men, Joseph and Matthias. And they prayed. And they said, Lord, you know the hearts of all. Show whether these two thou hast chosen. There's two men standing there. And I think how they, you know, when they cast lots, they did it in Revelation, they did it in the Old Testament. And what they'd do is they would either get a basket or something and put people's names in there or stones in there. And then the one that was picked out, that was the one the lot fell to. And here it says that Lord, you know which one you want. You show the one that of these two, and listen to this, you've chosen. We don't want to be responsible. You do it. That he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place, go back to son of perdition. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias. First thing they did, they prayed. Which one have you chosen? Matthias. And he was numbered with the 11. You know, some people say that they made a mistake doing this, because Paul the apostle was the 12th apostle. But no, because you know they prayed and said, Lord, you picked the one you've chosen. Just because we never heard of Matthias again, I never heard of Thomas again, never heard of Andrew again. So just because you didn't hear in the book of Acts and all the way through the rest of the Bible that you don't hear those fellas, does that mean God made a mistake? No. No. No, it doesn't. Our Lord and our God, oh, blessed be your name for meeting with us. Thank you for your precious word. Lord, we thank you that we can call on you. And we thank when we open your blessed Bible, you speak to us. We speak to you now. And then when we open your word, you speak to us and you talk with us. And Lord, please, let us hear your voice and your word. God bless these dear saints. God, go with them, encourage them, strengthen them, hold them up. And Lord, again, we pray for those that we prayed for earlier. Ask for your abundant grace and mercy be given them for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. Well, good night and God bless you. Lord willing, I'll see you Saturday. See you Saturday.